Well, in our gospel for this second Sunday of Lent, we're presented with the scene of the transfiguration of the Lord. And it's no accident that every year on this Sunday of Lent, the church gives us the transfiguration story. Jesus had just told his disciples that he was to suffer and die. The cross was in front of them, and it was a scandal to their hearts. So before leading them there to Calvary, Jesus takes with him Peter, James, and John and goes up the mount and then lets them glimpse his glory. So that would strengthen them to when they're at that point, when they see him in his suffering and in his passion, they'll remember he is truly the Son of God. The glory comes before the passion. The glory comes before the passion. And the Lord does this not to remove it, not to remove the passion and the suffering and the cross, but rather in order to give strength to his disciples as they journey closer with him to his passion. And that's one of the keys to understanding the Gospels and really getting the most out of the Gospels, is understanding that the life of Jesus is, as theologians call it, Pope Benedict XVI called it, a recapitulation of the Old Testament. A recapitulation of the Old Testament. That what happened in the Old Testament happens again in the life of Jesus. And we look for repetition, those things that happen in the Old Testament that are happening again. And this is one of those readings, this gospel, where we see that. Where we see this recapitulation. And that's Moses. We see Moses, and of course the story where Moses is going up Mount Sinai and receiving the law and beginning to lead this great exodus of the people of Israel to a new life. And so in the transfiguration moment we have in the gospel, and it says Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, and I love this. This has got to be one of the greatest understatements in the scriptures. Peter says, Lord, it is good that we are here. You think? Right? And Peter says, if you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Now, brothers and sisters, if we don't know the Old Testament and don't know about Moses and the first Exodus, this can seem a bit strange. You know, why would Peter suggest that they build three booths or tents? You know, maybe he's suggesting they make some kind of memorial, right? Peter's thinking this is really great here, right? Where we have Moses and Elijah and Jesus is transfigured and James and John, my buddies, and this is great. You know, we just need something to commemorate this event. Well, that's not it. Right? What we see is that Peter wants to build three booths or tents, and three booths harken back to the Old Testament when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt in the first Exodus from Egypt. And remember, Moses went up Mount Sinai as part of the Exodus to receive the law. And when he came down, he didn't know the skin of his face was shining, shone with the glory of God, because he'd been talking to God. And the people were afraid to come near him, so Moses would put a veil over his face. Actually, later than we read, he was allowed only to see the backside of God. But the glory of God, the presence of God, remained on Moses. And here in this gospel, we see Jesus going up a mountain, and he is transfigured. And we've got these three booths. Well, when Israel came out of bondage in Egypt, they celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles, and every year after, they would celebrate the feast. And to celebrate it, they would build small booths called sukkots. Sukkots, or as the holiday is known, Sukkot. And that would commemorate that journey of the children of Israel out of Egypt into the wilderness, out of bondage from slavery. We see this in the book of Leviticus. God commands the children of Israel to set up booths or tabernacles or tents after coming out of Egypt to live in these temporary shelters for 7 days to remember how God had provided for them. And observant Jews still do this today. If you go into the Holy Land today around this time of the Feast of Tabernacles, you'll see huts outside people's homes. And so here in the gospel, Peter is catching on that this transfiguration is commemorating the first exodus from Egypt. And now in the second exodus that we're talking about here at the transfiguration, we're talking about a different freedom, a different exodus. But how do we know that Jesus is talking about an exodus up on the Mount of Transfiguration, or as it's known, Mount Tabor? Well, if we read Luke's account, we're hearing from Matthew this Sunday, if we read Luke's account of the transfiguration, we actually get the content of their discussion up there in the mountain. Jesus was discussing his exodus, his departure, which would begin at Jerusalem. In other words, at his passion. In Luke's account, we read, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. And Luke uses the Greek exodus, which sounds like exodus. It's translated as departure. So Jesus is speaking here of his departure. And this exodus would not be from Egypt, as in the first exodus. And it would not be from the Romans or from the Greeks. But it would be from bondage, from sin and death, from which our Lord would deliver us. So now Moses and Elijah are on top of the mountain, and that really represents the law and the prophets, and Jesus is the fulfillment of all of this. But what about us? What about us? Do we ever experience a transfiguration in our lives? Well, we do. We do. Every time we go to Mass, we ascend. We ascend. We ascend up the temple of the Lord. And what do we experience? The real presence of Christ. You know, Mount Tabor, the veil is pulled back. You know, and the disciples see who Jesus really is. His divinity is shining through his humanity. You know, most of the time, of course, as they walked with our Lord, his divinity was veiled, hidden in his humanity. Today, here at this altar, and at every Mass, it's veiled again, right? Under the humble appearances of bread and wine. But it's the same Jesus, the same glory, the same Son of God. You see, every Mass, we go up, and we see Jesus. We see Jesus for who he is. We see his glory in the Holy Eucharist. And not only do we see him, but we consume him. He comes into our life. He gives us grace and strength and direction for our life. And then after Mass, we go into the world to love and serve the Lord. We, in a sense, we come down the mountain. We go back into everyday life, into the trenches of our lives, and we live this transfiguration life that we saw, that we experienced here at Mass. Just as the Lord strengthened Peter, James, and John up on the mountain before his passion, before the cross, so too he strengthens us at every Mass so that we can carry our own crosses and follow him into glory. He lets us here glimpse his glory so that we can face any suffering, any confusion, and remember who he is and where we are going. And Jesus is leading the new exodus, which is from bondage to sin and death. And when we go to Mass, it's a healing event. It's a freeing event. And so in this remainder of Lent, brothers and sisters, let's remember that we're on the Mount and we are seeing the real Jesus every time we come to Mass. And when we come down from the mountain, we don't descend alone. We descend as members of a church, not just this parish, not just St. Mary Parish, but the whole local church, the Diocese of Lansing, united under the faithful shepherding of Bishop Boyer, a direct successor to the apostles. And our mission here is united to the mission of the entire church throughout our diocese. Well, this week begins our bishop's annual diocesan services appeal, or the DSA. And during Lent, you know, we're called to prayer, fasting, almsgiving. And the DSA is one concrete way we live that out, not just for ourselves, not just for our parish, but for the whole church of Lansing, this whole church to which we belong. And the DSA supports the ongoing day-to-day work of the church, benefiting each and every parish in our diocese, our schools, our Catholic ministries, the formation of future priests and lay leaders. I'm, of course, grateful for Deacon Ryan, as I know all of you are, and the whole line of seminarians and transitional deacons that this parish has been blessed with for so many years, that you've been able to be part of that process of forming them into the future, the priests that they'll be. And I'm just so grateful, and that's all I can say is to the diocese and the wonderful staff at the diocese who are faithful, they're disciples, they are servants, and they help support me as pastor in all our parishes so that we can serve you. And the work that they do is extraordinary. But this DSA, it's just one concrete way. We serve one another in love, supporting the mission of the church throughout our diocese. And in a real way, it flows from what we do right here at this altar. That at every Mass, we offer bread and wine. And with them, we offer our very selves, united to Christ's sacrifice. This year's theme for the DSA reminds us what we give is what we have received from the Lord. What we give is what we have received from the Lord. And the DSA is an extension of that offering. So during this Lent, I invite you to prayerfully discern, what is the Lord asking me to give in gratitude for all I have been given? What is the Lord inviting me to give in gratitude for all I have been given? And next week we'll hear from Bishop Boyer. There's an insert in the bulletin this Sunday, and I do want to thank you for your generosity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This time, I'd like to invite our candidates forward for the penitential rite as they prepare for the sacrament of confession and full initiation into the church at Easter. The candidates who have already been baptized are coming forth with their sponsors. Candidates, I invite you to bow your heads and pray. My brothers and sisters, let us pray for these candidates. Christ has already ransomed them in baptism. Let us present our prayers to the Lord.
For our Bishop Earl Boyer, may he be blessed for his desire to inspire his flock through his Lenten Diocesan Services Appeal message, "What we give is what we have from the Lord." Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the world, may God bestow abundant blessings on every nation and people. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For our candidates, whom Christ has already ransomed in baptism and who now seek forgiveness of their sins, may they be ready and prepared to be sealed with the gift of the Father and be fed at the Lord's table. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all members of this parish, may the Holy Spirit strengthen our faith and commitment to the gospel. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all the prayers that are written in our parish book of intentions, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For each expectant mother considering abortion, may the Lord provide for her needs and give her the grace and resolve to choose life for her child. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who have died, may God grant them eternal rest. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And for the repose of the soul of Anita Lauchner, for whom this Mass is offered, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. Let us pray, too, for the peoples of the Middle East, that peace may reign in that land, that Our Lady Queen of Peace would intercede for them, inspire all leaders with a spirit of wisdom, and protect and keep safe all our servicemen and women. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Let us pray. Lord God, in the mystery of the Transfiguration, Your Son revealed His glory to the disciples and prepared them for His death and resurrection. Open the minds and hearts of these candidates to the presence of Christ in their lives. May they humbly acknowledge their sins and failings and be freed of whatever obstacles and falsehoods keep them from adhering wholeheartedly to Your kingdom. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, You are the only begotten Son whose kingdom these candidates acknowledge and whose glory they seek. Pour out upon the power of Your Spirit, pour out upon them the power of Your Spirit, that they may be fearless witnesses to Your gospel and one with us in the communion of love, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
Go in peace, and may the Lord remain with you. Thanks be to God. Thank you. Stand. In gratitude to Almighty God, whose glory is revealed in the transfiguration of His Son, let us profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, they came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for the offertory.
Please join in our offertory hymn number 77, number 77.
Brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father.
May the Lord accept the sacrifice at your hands for the praise and the glory of his name, for our good and the good of all his holy church.
May this sacrifice, O Lord, we pray, cleanse us of our faults and sanctify your faithful in body and mind for the celebration of the Paschal festivities. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, almighty and eternal God, through Christ our Lord. For after he had told the disciples of his coming death on the holy mountain, he manifested to them his glory, to show, even by the testimony of the law and the prophets, that the passion leads to the glory of the resurrection. And so, with the powers of heaven, we worship you constantly on earth and before your majesty without end we acclaim. From the world's beginning, are ceaselessly at work so that the human race may become holy just as you yourself are holy. Look, we pray, upon your people's offerings and pour out on them the power of your Spirit, that they may become the body and blood of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we too are your sons and daughters. Indeed, though we once were lost and could not approach you, you loved us with the greatest love. For your Son, who alone is just, handed himself over to death and did not disdain to be nailed for our sake to the wood of the cross. But before his arms were outstretched between heaven and earth to become the lasting sign of your covenant, he desired to celebrate the Passover with his disciples. As he ate with them, he took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it. For this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, knowing that he was about to reconcile all things in himself through his blood to be shed on the cross, he took the chalice filled with the fruit of the vine, and once more, giving you thanks, handed the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our Passover and our surest peace, we celebrate his death and resurrection from the dead. And looking forward to his blessed coming, we offer you, who are our faithful and merciful God, this sacrificial victim who reconciles to you the human race. Look kindly, most compassionate Father, on those you unite to yourself by the sacrifice of your Son, and grant that by the power of the Holy Spirit, as they partake of this one bread and one chalice, they may be gathered into one body in Christ, who heals every division. Be pleased to keep us always in communion of mind and heart, together with Leo our Pope and Earl our Bishop. Help us to work together for the coming of your kingdom, until the hour when we stand before you, saints among the saints in the halls of heaven, with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, the blessed apostles and all the saints, and with our deceased brothers and sisters whom we humbly commend to your mercy. Then freed at last from the wound of corruption and made fully into a new creation, we shall sing to you with gladness the thanksgiving of Christ who lives for all eternity. Through him and with him and in him, O God, almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope in the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Let us offer each other the sign of peace.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb.
Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed.
Please join in our communion hymn, number 179.
Oh,
Let us pray. As we receive these glorious mysteries, we make thanksgiving to you, O Lord, for allowing us, while still on earth, to be partakers even now of the things of heaven. Through Christ our Lord. Couple of announcements. Just a reminder, if you would please fill out our Disciple Maker Index. I want to thank already, I think, over 180 of you who've completed the survey, and this is really helpful. It helps us assess our strengths and opportunities, invites all of you to reflect on your discipleship journey here, and help, you know, for us to kind of identify the ways we can more effectively support your journey and your faith growth. While helping us prepare for the future. So please participate in the Disciple Maker Index. The QR code is available in Flocknote, the bulletin, the big sign in the center of the gathering space. And if you do not have use of a smartphone or use technology, please, you can see an usher after Mass or pick up a paper copy in the office during the week. This is something that once you start, it does need to be completed in the same sitting. Just FYI, it won't save. And one for every individual, so not just household. We really appreciate everyone participating. Reminder to everyone that our next parish-wide men's gathering is next Saturday from 7:30 to 9 a.m. I'll be speaking on spiritual spring training for Lent. So I invite all men here to come join us Saturday morning at 7:30 a.m. here in the church, next door, and all are welcome. As I mentioned in the homily, of course, we kick off our annual diocesan services appeal, our bishop's appeal, and next weekend we'll participate in commitment weekend. So our parish goal is 91,465, and I know it can be reached if each one of us responds to God's call to share the gifts we've been given out of love for our Lord and for our neighbor. So I invite you to prayerfully consider how the Lord might be inviting you to give a gift to the DSA this year, particularly if you have not yet participated in the DSA. Finally, as we were all able to see at this Mass, all of our candidates preparing for full initiation into the church, and that's not including the catechumens who will be baptized and received into the church at Easter. And this just represents, I think, what is happening across the diocese. We had the rites of election last weekend across the diocese where Bishop formally welcomed all of our candidates and catechumens. Enrolled them as they make this final stage now, leading up to initiation. And the diocese is reporting an almost 50% increase from last year in those to be baptized and fully admitted into the church. So this is just wonderful news, something for which we should give thanks to the Lord, of course, for all the good he's doing, and really just beyond our diocese. The Holy Spirit's doing something. So we really just want to be ready. We want to be equipped to help those who, when the Holy Spirit has put that desire in their heart, will be ready to respond and to help them and to accompany them on their journey home into the Catholic Church. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bow down for the blessing.
Bless your faithful, we pray, O Lord, with a blessing that endures forever, and keep them faithful to the gospel of your only begotten Son, so that they may always desire and at last attain that glory whose beauty he showed in his own body to the amazement of his apostles. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life.
Thanks be to God. Saint Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. Endue thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen.
Please join in our sending forth hymn number 86, number 86.